Indeed, the Heavenly Father has set a bountiful feast before us, this bountiful spiritual feast that we have been enjoying the last few days. And we look forward to the continuation of that feast, that we may be spiritually strong in the Lord. The edge of a new age. I don't know how many of you recently heard the State of the Union speech given by the President of the United States. He presented many hopes of bettering the lives of many peoples, the poor, the various racial and ethnic backgrounds of the jobless and those on welfare, also on those who have no health care. And he presented this with great emphasis, being placed on the welfare of the children of this nation, of those many who are threatened by drugs, by unrest in schools and having the inability to read and make something of their lives. And no doubt, brethren, he has good intentions. And I think the nation does have good intentions. And we don't wish to question their aspects of what their hearts or motives might be. But what was interesting to me was the rebuttal speech that came later. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard this, but this rebuttal speech came by a member of the opposing party. He also gave a well-intentioned proposal, but the statement that caught my attention was this: we are on the edge of a new age. And immediately I thought to myself, sir, if you really knew the truth of that statement, if you really knew how close we are to the edge of a new age. I thought if I could only talk to him at that particular moment. And I'm sure those of you who might have heard it might have thought the same thing that I did. If you only knew what a new age, what a wonderful kingdom lies just a little beyond this night's shadows of problems and gloom, this night of sorrow and death, which has been going on for the past 6,000 years. And though your proposals are good, you will soon find out that you and your colleagues will not be able to solve the problems of the people, nor the problems of this world. And if you heard this, perhaps you wished that as I did, that I could indeed tell him that a new age is just around the corner, closer than he might think. Though their motives may be good, and I think they are, and noble, they do not realize that it will take a greater power to achieve equal rights, to achieve happiness, to achieve peace for all the human family. How blessed we are, my dear brethren, to have been given understanding of the precious promises of God. Now, I don't know how many times in the course of a day do you think about the precious promises of God. But as we grow and mature in the graces of the Spirit, those promises should become more and more precious to us each conscious moment of our life. And how blessed we are to have been given the understanding of these words. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the 9th verse, but beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. We are defined as looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 13th verse, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The only hope that this earth has lies in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, that millennial kingdom, that new age soon to dawn. Surely it is God's remedy of this strife-torn and restless mass of humanity. There are no other remedies for this earth. Though it seems to tarry, and we've heard much about that here the last 2 days, though it seemed to tarry, it isn't tarrying at all. Why isn't it tarrying? It seems to you and I it might be tarrying because we're still alive. When we're dead, it won't tarry, because our next conscious moment will be in the kingdom. So, how long is it tarrying? Is there anyone here that's 100 years old? That's only a short time. It tarries only for our lifetime, and that's all. Man's extremity, his utmost distress and perplexity will be God's opportunity. In the second psalm, we are told that nations would gather themselves together. Why? Why are all these nations of earth gathering themselves together? That these people would imagine a vain thing. What is this vain thing that they're imagining? What are the nations when they gather themselves together? What are they talking about? Have you listened to any of them? Have you heard any of the things that they're talking about? You should know, of all the peoples on the earth, what vain things they are imagining. They think that they can bring peace to the earth. That's a vain thing. They will never accomplish that. The psalmist writes that the nations will strive to bind their cords. The nations will endeavor to mutually aid each other in pursuit of peace with their enemies. So they're binding themselves together with their enemies, thinking that by binding themselves together, they're going to bring peace. Is not this taking place? Just recently, there were nations taken into affiliation with the United Nations, have taken more and more nations in, all with the thought of binding themselves together that they're going to save themselves. But this binding together will not bring about the expectations that they wish, that they hope for. So be careful how you use the word binding. It may be used for your destruction. The nations do not realize there is no way out. They don't have the slightest idea that there's no way out of the problems that plague them. Because if they solve one, 100 jumps in its place. And it's pretty hard to do one a day when 100 more come up. Troubles will increase, and this will be the humbling process to many, as they see that their wisdom, their pride, will not be fulfilled, and this will cause them to become poor in spirit. This will bring them into despair. In the midst of this despair will come the fulfillment of this promise: "I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." Who is that king? Christ Jesus and his bride, 144,000. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for a possession. Has this taken place? Who is so confident? Who is so bold to say that it has? It is at the door. Has it come to pass? It will soon become a reality. One not acquainted with God's plan might ask, how can a kingdom instituted by God be established if all human efforts have failed? What will make its proposals different from those presented many times by noble men and women? And there have been many noble men and women who have lived and tried their uttermost to bring peace on earth. But they haven't done it. Why can't man put the precepts of the Bible into action if the solution lies in the Bible? We must rightly answer that God's remedy, a kingdom of peace, the new age of blessing, cannot and will not depend on human help. It will not depend on you or me in this life. It will only depend on you and I, brethren, if we make our calling and election sure and be a part of that spiritual Zion, that heavenly government, which will be a righteous government, which will be able to correct the problems of the earth. Be still, O earth, and know that I am God. God, the great sovereign, the creator of the universe, has determined that his Son will have the right to set up that glorious kingdom in his time. Not according to mine, or not according to anyone else's time. Of that day and hour, when the disciples asked the Lord, what will be the time of his coming? And of that time, Jesus says, of that day and hour knoweth no man except my Father which is in heaven. But that doesn't mean that God didn't give the knowledge to our Lord Jesus when he became a spiritual being. Because our Lord, you know, further told us what would be the signs of his parousia. And we look for those signs and we see them. This only begotten Son has earned the right to that inheritance because of his faithful obedience, even unto death. How does his body, the bride, 144,000, have that right to be of that bride? Only by earning it. If you and I are faithful to our covenant that we have made with God, and we recall when we made a covenant with God, everything that you ask, we will do. Now you made a covenant with God. And it's up to you to keep your covenant. Faithful, obedient, even unto death, if you would inherit it. In Daniel, the 2nd chapter, the 44th verse, we are told of the days of these kings and nations. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Which kings is he talking about? Is he talking about the kings on earth? I like the thought that in the days of these kings, Christ, the King, and his bride, 144,000 kings and priests and judges, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now this suggests the thought that when this kings are in authority and here to exercise that authority, then that kingdom will be set up. He, Christ, will take upon himself his great power and reign. And he shall rule them, the nations, with a rod of iron. The power exercised when this new age, when this kingdom begins, will be a power that no nation can resist, or no nation can overcome it. Yet side by side, and here's the beauty of this, side by side with this authority, with this rod of iron, there will be the olive branch of peace and love and happiness to go along with this authority, to go along with this justice that's going to be exercised in all this earth. You know, the world talks about a coming doomsday. Man-made theology of what the kingdom of God is going to be. But yet the scriptures are full of wonderful blessings of what this kingdom will be. It will be kingdom, it'll be a time of blessing. It will be a time of joy, peace, and happiness. It's not a day to look forward in fear, but it's a day to rejoice in. We long for it. We pray for it. We tell others of that wonderful kingdom that is soon to be established. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, in earth's dark night of weeping. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. When is early? Will I seek thee? We have been privileged, brethren, in our lifetime to seek the Lord in our lifetime. Early. Early before the time of restitution of the world. Before their time, we have been given the opportunity to become the bride of Christ. To become kings and priests in that glorious kingdom. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Are the inhabitants of the earth learning righteousness? Who can say? We pray for, we long for that day, all the days that we've been granted to live. We proclaim the glad message of the gospel throughout the earth. And what a wonderful privilege it is to be a part of proclaiming the kingdom message to all this earth. It's a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful privilege, which we thank our Heavenly Father for giving us the privilege of being co-laborers with those of like precious faith. The day will soon come when the blinded eyes of mankind will be opened, when the human family will see what is right and what is wrong. No longer will justice be meted out as in the past. No longer will the guilty be freed and the innocent suffer the effects of injustice. The world will know of those born in Zion. The world will know of those who have faithfully endured the injustices and the scorn, even unto death, which they suffered at the hands of their fellow man. In Isaiah, the 30th chapter, 26th verse, it tells us that the enlightenment of the world would be like that of a sevenfold light of the sun. You can't look at one light sun. And yet if the sun was seven times brighter than it is now, how glorious would that light be? This is almost impossible for our human minds to comprehend. But when we realize that the veil of ignorance, the veil of superstition, which has covered this human family for the past 6,000 years, will be lifted, and all the human family, whoever lived, will come into a knowledge of our wonderful truth, our wonderful Heavenly Father, will realize how great and how loving our God is. You know, the world has been praying for this and they don't know it. They have been praying for a kingdom. They have been praying for peace and not realizing what is happening. They could never understand what great day of blessing it will be for all. And right here on earth, not in a heavenly realm or in some far off planet, But in that wonderful kingdom, evil will no longer appear good or as desirable. All will be given a clear knowledge of the character, attributes of our God and His purposes in regard to the human family. When you're talking to somebody, don't you just wish, oh, if you could only understand. If your heart could burn. With that mutual feeling. When justice will be throughout all the earth. This beautiful, merciful judgment will not be by the hearing of the ear, nor by the sight of the eye, Isaiah 11 and 3. For this judge, the glorified Christ, will be able to discern the very intents of the heart. This altogether lovely one will indeed, who indeed was touched with our infirmities, with the feelings of our infirmities, and with His stripes we are healed, because He died for us. And not us only, but He died for all the world of mankind. Those who will love His righteous rule will indeed be blessed. They will no longer be oppressed. No longer they will be trodden down because of their meekness of character. Their meekness will work to their welfare. Seek meekness. Seek righteousness. It may be that you would be hid in that day. See what meekness and righteousness will do? If you seek those things that are pleasing to God. 11th chapter of Isaiah tells us that nothing shall hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, because the whole world will be under the guidance and instructions of Christ. And this wonderful provision for man's recovery from sin and death shall reach down into the very grave. For the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Think about that. There is neither knowledge, nor wisdom, nor device, nor anything in the grave whither thou goest. But yet the Scripture says, when the dead shall hear His voice. They can only hear His voice when they are raised from the dead. That's the only time. And when will they be raised from the dead? In the kingdom. Ah, dear brethren, marvel not at this. John 5:28. The dead hear not anything. I had one brother that always was worried that I wouldn't be home when he died. He always thought maybe I'd be overseas or out in the road and I wouldn't get. I said, brother, I will be there. And I said, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to come up to you and I'm going to say, well, brother, I'm here. And you're not going to say anything. But when he awakens from death, then they will know. Oh, brother. This awakening will include the infants of but an hour who died before they could even know anything about God. It includes all, even those whose final resting place are known only to God. Final, that is to say, as far as a known burial place. And step by step, they will be taught and given an opportunity to walk up the highway of holiness. Oh, what a glorious new age that kingdom will be. Consider its solutions. Health care. The inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. They won't need any health care. Out of existence. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap as a hart. And the tongue of the dumb will be unstopped. Homelessness. You go to the big cities, you see so many lying on the streets, homeless. No place to lay their head. Every man shall sit under his own vine, his own fig tree, and none shall make him afraid. When? Not yet. Soon. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Are the nations beating their swords into plowshares? Are they beating their spears into pruning hooks? Are all the colleges of war closed? Are not they teaching the young men the welfare of war? Ah. Isaiah 14:7, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. Not yet. The earth is in a mad turmoil. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. But the Scriptures tell us the earth shall blossom as a rose. The earth shall yield its increase. What is the increase of the earth? Life. Life is the increase of the earth. All the human family that went into death will come forth. It will yield its increase. The earth abideth forever. The poor. This I like special. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. You go in a store, say, well, I don't have no money, but I need some water and I need some food. Will they give it to you? But Jesus, the Lord is telling us, come ye who have no money, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. That hear means to obey the righteous laws of the kingdom. When they come under that righteous law, if they obey that righteous law, they will live. For the rivers of the water of life will flow unto them freely, and they will enjoy that wonderful. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. When? Now? Or in the kingdom? Isaiah 41:17. Oh, yes, brethren. The hope and blessings of the kingdom. Sorrow and weeping. Psalms 30:5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Not yet. Pretty soon. Jeremiah 31:15-16. A voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children. And she refused to be comforted because her children were not. Where are they? They are asleep in death. And we still hear Rachel weeping. Rachel has been weeping for the past 6,000 years. And every day we hear Rachel weeping. Weeping for her children. Weeping for the death. The enemy of death is still madly claiming its victims every second of the day. But thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. Whose work is he talking about? He's talking about your work. He's talking about your covenant that you made with God. And if you keep that covenant, faithful, obedient, even unto death, that you're going to be rewarded. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy, and you'll be a part of it. Oh, brethren. When? When the blessings of life flow into all the earth in the kingdom. Isaiah 65:19, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. We pray for that day, and we tell others of that day, of that wonderful kingdom. And this will be in all the earth. Revelation 21:3-4. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither crying nor sighing, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things have passed away. Pretty soon, but not yet. Just government. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. For the increase of his government and his peace there shall be no end, for it shall grow and multiply and fill the whole earth. Yes, this is how the human family will honor the Christ. This is how they will know that the kingdom is here. How will man react to this new government? Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, in the house of the God of Jacob. Where is this mountain? Show it to me. You know where it's at? This mountain is the kingdom. It will be established in the earth. And this mountain is not here yet. And he will teach us of his ways when all the nations go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. And we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion, heavenly Zion, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. There's no word of the Lord coming out of Jerusalem. If you've heard it, tell me. Psalms 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, and the people rejoice, and a soon to be fulfilled promise that will bring peace and life and joy to all. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, say, Know the Lord. For all shall know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. Is that true? Now? We could go on and on, brethren, and find many more answers to the problems that will be solved in the kingdom. These evil influences of this world must be permitted until the last member of the body of Christ, his bride, has been polished, tested, and finished his course on earth. That has to take place first. Whenever the church is complete, then will come into effect all these other blessings that pertain to the world of mankind. Quickly after the church is complete, the poor groaning creation will experience the end of earth's long night of pain and death. The entire world will then recognize the healing of the whole earth, and in its habitats will witness the great love that the Creator displayed. And that great love is that our Heavenly Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth on Him shall not perish, but have life abundantly. And that we have the opportunity to be a part of that wonderful plan of God, that we might share with His Son in that glorious realm and be partakers of the heavenly fruit of His existence. May the Lord continue to bless you, brethren, as you seek to walk in this narrow way. Amen.